Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and it's that time of year again, film festival time. Yes, I am a fan of film festivals. I'm a fan of indie films, indie sci-fi, indie horror, all the fun movies people can make without the restraint of the studio system locking them down, stifling their creativity, choking their dreams in the shallow bathtub water. Can you see that I've been watching horror movies lately? Yes, you can. Anyway, coming soon, the Phoenix International Film Festival, of which the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival is a huge part, is coming up. We'll run from Thursday, March 31st through Sunday, April 10th at the Scottsdale 101 Theaters in Scottsdale, Arizona. And with me right now is Festival Director for the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival, my good friend, Monty Yazzi. Hi, Monty.
Hey, Summer. Good to hear from you again. So excited to be back on the show. I love that we get to do this every year.
Me too. And I love that you get to see all these films and curate them. And I'm a little bit jealous because you get to see a lot of them before I do. But hey, it's all good in the end, right?
Oh, it's so much fun. You know, I do have a very lucky job being able to watch all these movies and talk to these filmmakers and all these great perks. And I absolutely love it.
It's a little bit like what I do here. I get to talk to the cast and the writers and the directors of a lot of these indie films, you know, sci-fi, horror. Every now and then there's a thriller or a sort of a film that doesn't fit into one mold or the other, but is a little bit of several genres together. And I get to talk to the filmmakers and go, so what were you thinking when you made this, and how did you get it made, and can you share your secret?
It's so much fun getting behind the curtain on how these movies are made, right?
I mean, the number of smaller films, they might be smaller in budget, but some of them have been huge in stories. And you hear stories about people, you know, filming entire movies on their iPhones. And I'm just blown away by that.
Yeah, it's crazy, you know, like having to become creative during the pandemic has really opened up this creative vessel for people to share their stories and, you know, create those human connections with people. And it's so fascinating and inspiring to watch these filmmakers utilize what they have in their own homes to make these movies come to life.
And the fact that some of them get picked up by some of the big streaming platforms and presented to a bigger audience, that's, you know, to me, that's amazing and awesome.
Oh yeah, it's great. You know, that there's so many places now for these movies to be seen, and it provides an opportunity for all these movies to get out there. It's awesome. There's almost like to the point now where I get recommendations from people on a weekly basis. And 10 years ago, I could keep up with all those recommendations. But now it's like, I have to have this site and this site and this site. And I have to, you know, be ready for all these movies. But it's great to have that kind of content, you know, like I'm a child of the 90s. So the fact that we don't just have three new releases on a Tuesday afternoon is pretty great.
Yeah. And places, not just the bigger streamer nets, but some of the smaller ones. You've got Shudder picking up a lot of cool stuff. You've got, what is it, Dust and Alter, with our awesome platforms. And just seeing that there's more interest in indie storytelling is just warms my heart, because it lets me know that there's more people out there who look for good stories outside of the usual channels. And I think the pandemic, especially the lockdown, sort of had people go outside their usual boxes to look for stuff because they couldn't find it anywhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's great because you have this opportunity as well too, you know, for these streaming sites to play old films as well too. And you know, there's been times where I've watched a new movie on one of these platforms, and right afterwards, it feels like it's almost curated to start, you know, a film that feels inspired by that movie, but something from like the 1970s or something from the 60s or something from the past. And I think that's the beautiful part about being able to have these different sites that are curated by, you know, horror movie fans and science fiction, you know, purists, and you know, all these great programmers that can create these wonderful, almost feels like cable, you know, like when you just like kind of let cable roll through with different movies. It
Yeah.
almost has that same feeling.
So did you face any interesting logistical challenges curating this year's festival lineup?
You know, I think every year of the festival, especially the past probably 4 or 5 years with the changes in the world and the changes to technology, we always seem to, you know, encounter, you know, logistical issues that are new and unexpected, but also great learning experiences for us to get better at curating film, for us to get better at programming these movies, and to find new avenues and new places to explore, you know, what film means to people. And I think that's the fun part. So, you know, Phoenix Film Festival and International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival, you know, we are very big on, you know, allowing numerous perspectives to come in to the festival and trying to find those new filmmakers from those new voices, or those films that have very particular cultural spins on old stories, or new, you know, new social commentary that we're able to bring into these different stories. And I think that's that, you know, every year it seems like we're progressing and things are getting so much more interesting to program. But yeah, definitely every year, you know, with the time during the pandemic, and now moving into this weird space where like we still have a pandemic, but people are starting to become more comfortable with getting out into the world. You know, it creates these pieces, these places where we have to still err on the side of caution, but also, you know, try to meet our audience someplace in the middle where we can be safe and still offer the quality services that we're able to provide.
Nice. So, have you an opinion you could render on this year's, I guess, feature showcase, the showcase for the feature films that are being presented this year?
You know, it's so funny because you know, horror and sci-fi, you know, in summer we talked about this before, where I talk about like how horror and science fiction are, in my opinion, the best genres because it allows you to explore emotion in so many different ways, and it allows you to touch on these feelings about, you know, how people respond to, you know, these scary stories or these, you know, far off planet stories. And emotion carries through all of that. It can be scary, it can be funny, it can be dramatic, it can be a whole bunch of different things, but science fiction and horror encompass all of those emotions. And I think for the program this year, you'll see that there is horror that is so broadly dissected in all of the movies, where you might have one film that is really pushes hard into what people think horror is, and another film that maybe falls a little bit closer to a thriller but still handles horrific subject matter. And then the things with the science fiction films as well too. You know, you have these movies that are pushing the boundaries of what the idea of science fiction could be, whether that be through technology advancements, whether that be through communication with alternate realities, whether that be communication with a alien race. The films are doing such a great job of finding these avenues and pathways to explore all of these different realms of what the genre can be. And you know, it sounds so silly to say like, well, it's diversity, like we have a very diverse program, but you know, this year more so I think than years in the past, you can definitely feel the diversity. I don't think there's any movie in the showcase positionings that feel like they're connected to each other. They're all very different.
So how many are we talking about in the feature lineup?
Well, we're still working on our final numbers for everything, but currently we are working with anywhere between 10 to 13 films in the showcase, and that's horror and science fiction showcase films. our showcase program is typically movies that have found distribution or are close to finding distribution or have been on the festival circuit for a really, really long time, or those movies that are just ready to drop onto VOD or theatrical. That's kind of our showcase description. And we typically have anywhere between 10 and 13 in that category. For our competition films, our horror and sci-fi competition have three films each that are represented for the competition. So those films go through a little different process of screening. For the competition films, the filmmaker has to submit the movie to the festival, and of those submissions, our talented team of programmers, Brandon Kitchen, Danny Marinino, and Mike Stackpole, they do a wonderful job of kind of figuring out what they think the best representations for the program are within those categories, and that's how we pick our competition films. And we also have a shorts program. So in our shorts program, we typically have shorts A and shorts B. Depending on how long the movies are, you can probably find anywhere between 8 and 12 short films represented in each one of those. So there's a wealth of films that you can watch. And I always applaud people who will say, like, "Oh, Monty, I saw everything in horror and sci-fi," because then I'm like, "Wow, you watch like 30 something movies. Like that's a crazy amount of movies that you watch." But yeah, it's great, and it's awesome that we have such a wonderful partner with Phoenix Film Festival, who are willing to continue to help us bring this festival to life every year. Jason Carney with Phoenix Film Festival, he's the executive director over there. He has always been the champion for horror sci-fi and has been our biggest advocate in making sure that this festival continues.
And you guys do have multiple opportunities for people to see the features and the shorts programs over the 10 days or so of the festival. And that's something that I really like, because it's like if you miss, it's like, oh, I wanted to see this movie, it's on Tuesday night, but it shows again on Friday. I'm good.
Yeah, it's a puzzle of programming pieces, and my computer looks like a kind of a big like digital puzzle where I'm just moving colors all over the place to try to make sure that I don't have two reds in the same spot or two blues in the same spot or two yellows in the same spot. It's a game of chess and kind of a game of puzzle building as well too, where we're trying to make sure that we're giving people a little bit of everything every single night. But it's fantastic, and it's a whole lot of fun to like build these programs out and provide these opportunities for these films to reach a wider audience.
Are you going to have any events with the filmmakers, like Q&A sessions or other after the films, where the filmmakers can talk about their movies with the audience?
That's one of my favorite things about the festival is the fact that we create it to have a opportunity to watch these movies, but we also make it so interactive. So we have a ton of events that we have planned out. We have parties, we have get-togethers and mingles. It's so interactive. So during the week, you can watch your movies. You can also go sit in for a Q&A with some filmmakers. Specifically on the 2 weekends of the festival, we have a whole host of parties that are set up to enjoy. And especially this year, now the fact that we have brought our big tent back, which is kind of a staple for the Phoenix Film Festival, is we have this giant tent that we have a lot of our parties in. We have that back for our opening weekend. So there'll be Q&As and different discussions with filmmakers in that tent. But we also are doing some educational pieces inside the theater this year, which is kind of a new piece. So you can actually purchase a ticket for those educational events, and instead of watching a movie, you'll learn from somebody who makes movies or discusses movies or talks about how movies are made behind the scenes and have this whole other avenue to explore, the filmmaking process. But our film prom is back. Everybody loves film prom. So one of the nights of the festival, we have a time to bring in a DJ and have like a little prom night, film theme prom night. We have a luau that will be back at the festival this year. And our opening night event is unmatched by any other festival. The opening night event is fantastic. We have a wonderful film that we have lined up that should be out. It should be released in the next few days, what our opening night film is. And yeah, we just have such a great time, and it's an opportunity for us to, really bring this film festival experience back to what it used to be.
Talk a little bit more about the educational sessions, because that sounds fascinating.
Yeah, so that's kind of a new thing that we've done in the past couple years, where we have, like, these filmmaker panels that we have that will be set up. And some of those panels will, for instance, one of them is called I'm Funny How, which is kind of a breakdown about, like, comedy and film. We have another one called Write What You Love, which is a narrative about, like, how you write, how you would write a story for a film. We even have ones called Mass Appeal, where you're talking about, like, what films are going to have general mass appeal. We have ones that are, just going through kind of a list of them. We have another one called Short and Sweet, which is probably which is a description of, like, how you go about making a short film. So it's a wonderful opportunity because it happens throughout the day, and it is like a ticketed event. And you'll go to, when you go into the theater, you'll get your voucher just like you normally do for your movie. But now you'll be directed to a theater where they'll have a panel going on in there. And those panels happen Saturday, April 2nd, Sunday, April 3rd, Saturday, April 9th, and Sunday, April 10th. So specifically on the weekends, we have those panels available. But they're a lot of fun. And I think it's just an opportunity for one to get to know the filmmakers that are in the movies, because a lot of times these panels are composed with people who are filmmakers who have films in competition in the festival, or they have had films in past competitions. But they're the ones who run the panels. But it's really great. And for those filmmakers that are thinking about, trying to start their own movie or trying to figure out where they should begin with writing their story, these are panels where you get to sit, and listen to experts talk about how they did it. And that's pretty awesome.
It is. It is. I can't wait to hear any of the feedback from the people who attend these events, because it once something like that really catches a hold, it just grows and grows. So I would imagine that those educational panels for next year could be spectacular.
Yeah, and that's just like one of the pieces as well too. Like, we have youth programs as well for the festival. We have a kids' day, which is a free event for children of all ages. They get to come out and experience the Phoenix Film Festival. We try to make it family oriented, so you get an introduction to the art of film with a series of, like, different age appropriate hands-on activities focusing on the different aspects of film production. And that starts off for kids pretty young. My daughter went when she was about 4 years old, and she still talks about it to this day.
Wow, cool.
Along with that, we have a middle and high school workshop where students in middle school and high school are encouraged to participate in, like basically a film education for an entire few days. Sometimes I think it's a week-long activity where they get to kind of build a story and shoot a short film during that time. So at the end of the workshop, you have a film that your name's on, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome there. Just having a student workshop for middle school and high school kids to get them interested in filmmaking, to see if this is what they want to do, or if this is a direction they want to go in that industry. That's awesome. All we need now is a workshop to show how to make bloody clothing for a zombie film.
Summer, if you're proposing that, I got you down. We're gonna put you down for that next year.
Let me make some notes here, see what I can do.
Yeah,
Well, Monty, tell everyone the places they can go to find out more about the festival and, more importantly, to buy their tickets.
so phoenixfilmfestival.com is going to be your one-stop shop for everything you want to know about the festival. Our full lineup is there, the descriptions of all the movies, the schedule, all the events, all of the education pieces. That's where you're going to go for all of your ticketing. And we have different levels of ticketing again. So if this is, like, your first festival, I always tell people start with, like, something like a Flex Pass. Flex Pass will give you four films, and you get to pick whatever film you want to in the festival, and you get to watch it. It's kind of film festival intro, not even 101, just film festival intro. And then beyond that, you can go all the way up to, the platinum level type pass, or we have a festival pass. We have even something called the Superflex pass. And our Superflex pass is like, let's say you do the Flex pass and you saw four films, but you're like, man, I wish they had something that was super. We have a Superflex, and that gives you 10 movies instead of four. So, but it's a lot of fun, and the website will give you everything you need to know about the Phoenix Film Festival. That's phoenixfilmfestival.com.
Awesome. And yes, every year I look forward to seeing what the poster for the Horror Sci-Fi Film Festival is going to be, because they do some incredible artwork. Was it, I think it was a year ago or 2 years ago, they had sort of an homage to the thing. I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah, this year's poster is awesome. You haven't seen it yet, Summer?
I did. I saw it yesterday.
Yeah, so our homage is to a wonderful film from the 80s called Demons. And I love the movie Demons. Have you seen this movie, Summer?
Not in about 30 years.
Oh my goodness. 1985, ladies and gentlemen. 1985, Dario Argento did a movie called Demons. It's one of my favorite movie theater horror films, and it's fantastic. It has all the gross blood, it has all the great effects, it has all the rubbery skin, it has all the bad dub, English dubs that they have in movies. It has all of those things, but the iconic picture is a group of demons with shining eyes walking up away, like walking up a set of stairs. So our absolutely talented artist Marty Friedrich, who does our film art for the festival, he designed this one from the very beginning, and it's absolutely stunning. I absolutely love it.
Awesome. Well, I would like to thank you once again for sharing your passion for horror sci-fi, because it shows in what you do in these festivals. And I, for one, am very, very grateful for the work you do.
Thank you so much, Summer. That means a tremendous amount to me, because I was one of the people sitting in the audience many, many years ago, where I was new to a festival. I'd never gone to one, and I was this guy who felt like, oh, I love horror movies more than all of my close friends, or no one else like me. And you show up to this film festival and you realize, wow, these people all know more than me about these movies, and I should, like, these are like my new buddies. And every year it feels like, I always call it film festival family, where every year we come back, and sometimes it's the only time we get to see some of the folks. And especially during pandemic, when the events were, much more scattered about, there were a lot more precautions up in place. You miss some of your family. So I'm really happy that we're able to do this in person again, and I'm so fortunate to have the supporting team that we have. I have a great group of guys, Maddie Robinson, Danny Marianino, Brandon Kitchen, Michael Stackpole, along with Jason Carney and the rest of the Phoenix Film Festival staff. They support this thing immensely. So again, it's a joy to do, and I'm glad that people like it.
Again, I am very grateful for the work all of you do, and I look forward to continuing it many more years to come. Monty Yazzie, director of the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Summer. Appreciate you. You're the best.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Hi, I'm Laura Perlman, editor of Cat's Cast, the monthly feline fiction podcast that actually exists. You may be familiar with the April Fool's versions of Cat's Cast that have come out over the last 2 years, but this is no joke. Starting in April, we'll be putting out an episode every month for the next year at least. If you're an escape artist supporter on Patreon, the best way to listen to Cat's Cast is on the Escape Artist Premium Content podcast feed. If you don't already have that in your podcatcher, you can find it under the My Membership tab at the EA Patreon. If you're not an EA patron, you can listen on our public feed, but we're only sharing half the episodes there. You can find more details at escapeartists.net/catscast. Now here's a preview of episode 1, The Cat Lady and the Petitioner by Jennifer Hudak, which will go live everywhere on April 1st.
The fact that Bob can speak is strange. But now that Lori is standing at the top of the playground structure, she begins to realize that there are far more unsettling things in the universe. The hole leading to nothing, for example, that's right behind Bob. It's not really a hole. Lori's mind labels it as such because when faced with something which defies all description, the mind will force it to fit somewhere. Hole is as close an analog as Lori's mind can come up with. What it is, in fact, is a loosening. A thin place in the membrane between universes, where the fabric is worn like jeans over kneecaps, and the threads weaving everything together have begun to pull apart. Lori could not possibly know this, but the Cat Lady does. Her house sits upon one of those thin places. It's been her job, through each of her 9 lives, to guard it. Hers and the cat's. A long time ago, when she was young and frisky and new, it was a dangerous place, with universes threatening to burst through at all hours. Not all universes have soft blankets and cups of tea and catnip and windowsills that warm in the sun.
Hi, this is Barbara Crampton, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi. Ooh, scary.
Once again, I'd like to thank Monty Yazzie for sharing his passion for the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival with us. Once again, the 2022 International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival will run from March 31st through April 10th at the Scottsdale 101 Theaters. And this is... See if I have my years correct. This is the 18th year for the Horror Sci-Fi Festival and the 22nd year for the Phoenix Film Festival. You can find out more at phoenixfilmfestival.com and horrorsci-fi.com, including information on when and where to get tickets. Schedules for both festivals are currently on those websites. And like I said, it's a festival I attended a number of times back in the day, and it's always a lot of fun. And who knows, one day I may get there again. How about you? Are genre film festivals part of your wheelhouse? Part of the enjoyment you get out of watching genre films? Let me know. Send me an email, summer@sliceofsci-fi.com, or give me a call. Leave a voicemail message, 602-635-6976. And, use your opinions to get a geeky conversation started. You can also hit me up over on Twitter, @SliceOfSciFi. Like I said, start a conversation, because that's what we do. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. And if you're listening on either Apple or Stitcher, please consider leaving us a review. It'll help boost our profile over there and get the show in front of other people. Let them know that we're having fun and they should come on over and check it out for themselves. And you can also leave a review or a rating over on Podchaser. I'd like to thank everyone who is currently helping to support our efforts here at Slice of Sci-Fi. And Writers After Dark and the Babylon Podcast, all the podcasts and websites in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe. Your pledges, your donations really do help keep things running around here, and for that I am grateful. If you'd like to add your support, there are a few options. If you want to become a patron, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Pick a tier, any tier, you will become eligible for perks. Every month, I pick a winning email address out of the hopper, and that person gets to choose their prize from books, DVDs, Blu-rays, 4Ks, all materials from entertainment options, books, movies, and TV shows that I have reviewed here. And right now I don't have the space to keep them all. So the supporters, listeners, fans of the show get first shot at the good stuff. If you'd like to donate without being tied into a monthly pledge, the place to go is paypal.me/sci-fi-summer. And also, for the time being, Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/sliceofscifi. And another option you have now is sliceofscifi.net, Slice of Sci-Fi Select, curated lists of books, movies, TV shows from the contributors here at Slice of Sci-Fi. And purchasing through sliceofscifi.net will be through affiliate links, so you're helping out the efforts here through that, while also getting some really, really good hand-picked science fiction, horror, fantasy, documentary entertainment for your personal library. Again, that website is sliceofscifi.net. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.